So we're continuing to talk about the Senate's decision yesterday here in Connecticut, voting to pass a 121-page bill. And this was through an expedited process called emergency certification. What that means is that during this current legislative session, there were no public hearings on this bill. We know that this also included earmarks. It also looked at a wide range of issues from education to election law to even warehouse ownership requirements. As I mentioned, it did pass the Senate basically along party lines with the inclusion of one Republican senator, State Senator Tony Huang. And it's going to the House today. It will most likely, again, this is just an educated guess, it'll most likely pass along party lines because there is still a majority in the House. But we wanted to check in first with House Minority Leader Vin Candelora, who joins us now for the very latest. And Representative Candelora, I appreciate your time. What have you read through this 121-page bill yet?
I have. My staff has also. We've had opportunity to read through it. So it's not a matter of it being shoved on us at the last minute. I think the concern is in the abuse of process is the fact that this is the process that we're using to pass legislation that really should be going through the normal course of all the other bills that we're working on right now.
But it's going to go through, obviously, because they decided to do it in the Senate yesterday. My concern, and I was actually talking about this with State Senator Tony Huang earlier in the show, is that we're setting a very dangerous precedent, I think. And I'd love to get your take on it. I think if you do this now, it sort of defeats the fact of why do we even have a legislative session? Why do we have public hearings? I think it kind of creates this mistrust, essentially, regardless of political affiliation, that we're just going to kind of do what we want in Hartford, even if this policy, here's the thing, is this bill overall could be really good for Connecticut. But I think the way in which it's being done sets a horrible precedent for the state.
Yeah, it throws out the window our public hearing process, our public input process, transparency. My 20 years have never seen this done to this magnitude. So when you talk about precedent, it is absolutely significant. There are many times that we've used the ECERT process, the emergency process. We did it in November to create that fund for
The government shut down. Yep, that made sense.
I supported it. I pushed it. There's a bill today that we're dealing with the bottle deposit. We have a crisis in Connecticut because our bottle deposit is 10 cents. We're over-redeeming. Businesses are shelling out millions of dollars. I support doing that in emergency bill right now. And that was the main reason we were going in to fix this issue and stop the bleeding.
I was going to say, I believe, was that put forward by Mr. Ritter? I think it was, right? Didn't House Speaker Ritter put that forward or no?
Yeah, it was a House initiative. It was sort of bipartisan. Yes, the Speaker pushed that initiative, and I wholeheartedly agreed with it and helped negotiate it because we have to stop the bleeding. We have upwards
of $20
million.
Oh, it's criminal what's happening. It's criminal.
Yes, of over-redemption. It literally is criminal. So, you know, I'm not a purist where I say we can never use an ECERT process. It's there for a reason. But when you start abusing it, you lose credibility, and it's an erosion. What disappoints me is, where's the governor? He has not weighed in on this, and he's probably going to quietly sign the bill.
That's a good point. I haven't heard from him at all.
I
agree. I haven't.
No one has.
And what's interesting, too, actually, we're talking to House Minority Leader Vin Candelora. What's interesting, too, about this is the governor has pushed back on his party before. I can remember very distinctly. I mean, just last summer, he pushed back and vetoed the housing bill and was like, I need to have more of a say in this. We saw him in the very last hour of, I want to say, two legislative sessions ago. Don't quote me on this, that there was the bill they tried to pass with marijuana. And he's like, nope, we're not passing it this way. You got to fix it. I mean, we've seen it, but that is interesting. I didn't really think about the fact that we've not actually heard anything from Governor Lamont regarding this emergency cert being used.
Yeah, and, you know, we do have one party rule in the Senate and the House, certainly the governor's office, but the governor has a different perspective. You know, he's the chief executive. He has to run government. He has to support economic policy. This bill is devastating, not just for warehouses, but it hits retail. We don't even know the magnitude that bill is going to impact our retail markets who struggle with increases to minimum wage, increases to cost of goods due to tariffs. And we have just piled on another bill without any public hearing or input. And people might say that warehouse bill has been around, but not the way it was just written. And ironically, you had Pritzker in Illinois, a Democrat governor who vetoed a bill that was not written as broadly as Connecticut's bill. And that's where I'm frustrated, because I've never been able to have a conversation with the governor on this bill because it was inserted. It's sort of done quietly. We got the language a few days ago. We were able to try to push back and negotiate. It's just not the way you do business in Hartford. We want to hear from people. You don't want to unintendedly hurt businesses and other residents passing bills in the dead of night. And now we have here is passing a bill without any public input.
We're continuing to track this massive 121-page bill that did pass in the Senate yesterday. It is headed to the House today, and we're talking to House Minority Leader Vin Candelora about it. So this was done under emergency certification. And I don't know if you feel this way before I dive into some of the details of this bill, Representative Candelora, but do you... So with this, how do you even allow for emergency? Like, do we have any kind of legislation that says you can only do emergency certification if there's a flood? If there's a, you know, like what prompts?
It's a great question.
Yeah. What allows that?
So there's no, technically there's no definition. So in our minds, there's sort of a thought of an emergency is exactly that, something that is time sensitive. It could be a natural disaster, or it could be something where you have a federal law change, you have to fix something. So really, time is the issue. That's in my mind, but there's no definition. So it's essentially the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate signs a document declaring whatever they want to declare an emergency, and that stands.
I mean, I feel like, and again, I have no issue calling myself a Pollyanna. I know to some degree I am, but I feel like there needs to be a nonpartisan entity in the state, or I don't know who that would be, or maybe it is the governor. I don't know. But somebody has to say if that's justified or not. So to your point earlier, and I do think this is truly one of the most telling points of this entire legislative session. I really do. I think this will have huge implications for November as well, but I digress. For me, I feel like there needs to be, I don't know if a law could really fix this, because to your point, it really would come to the discretion of, you know, we're all adults. We know what an emergency is. So if a government shutdown's happening, we got to get money to people who have their SNAP benefits taken away. Like, we know what an emergency looks like. But to your point, this started as a bipartisan effort. We got to address this bottle issue. Totally. Absolutely. Let's do it. How in the world did that then turn into, well, let's just get everything off the table? I mean, to me, I think there needs to be somebody that clears it. Yup, we'll talk bottles. Yup, we'll talk this. Nope, that actually is not an emergency. There needs to be something. I don't know, because to me, we've opened Pandora's box. If we do it now, we're just going to keep doing
it. And typically, it's been the governor that would step in and say, no, we're going to keep it narrow. And the governor's done that in the past. For whatever reason, he has checked out. And I will say, has
it's an interesting
been very
year to check out
in this process.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, I would love to hear from him on why he thought doing 124 pages with, I don't know, 70 plus sections was a good idea while we're in the middle of session, and to circumvent the public's input. That to me is really frustrating. It's actually over 98 sections, this bill. So, yes, I think the joint rules, which sort of dictate our process, we need to try to get a better definition of what an emergency is, given what's happening right now. Some of these bills being voted on have public hearings. So we're going to have public hearings on bills that are already going to become law. It's bizarre and ridiculous.
Wait. Sorry. So we have public hearings on, like, the schedule, like on the calendar, but it's in this,
yes.
So there's no really... Okay.
That's right.
Okay, thank you.
And given
I
the process...
Thanks
I'm
for
not,
the clarity.
Yeah, I'm not sure how you withdraw that public hearing. It's really sloppy. It's embarrassing. And frankly, the rank and file, I don't care, Democrat, Republican, you've got to stand up to this. You know, if people within the Democrat Party said, you know what, this doesn't make me comfortable. I don't want to vote for something that my constituents didn't have input on. The rank and file need to stand up to what is right. And that's what's upsetting to me, is we have a block of people. You know, we saw the Senate vote, and a lot of them didn't speak to this. You know, they pretend nothing is wrong. This is a great bill. We love the issues that are in it. And none of them speak to the abusive process. And I think they really need to stand in the mirror and say, am I okay with supporting this level of democracy. We have seen no king rallies all through the fall. And I get it. I respect that. I understand it. But you know what? This isn't much different from what they're accusing President Trump of doing. And so to me, it's hypocritical. And it's very disturbing that we have people willing to allow this process to stand.
So I have to address this because I really didn't quite understand it. And I know you've read through this, Representative Candelora, but I saw from the Connecticut Conference of Municipalities, which, again, yes, they are not of any political party. They represent all 169 towns and cities in Connecticut. They actually were one of the many entities that helped in the redoing of the housing bill that did pass in an emergency session in November. I was talking to Joe DeLong about this, and he said that in this Senate bill, it slips pension offset language into it, which is something that on a bipartisan basis from the municipal level, they have been fighting, it says, for decades to not have this happen.
Decades.
He said it's like a collective bargaining agreement but I really don't understand it very well. But he basically was saying this is going to fall on us and our taxes are going to go up. That's kind of how he said it.
It's going to raise costs. Basically, what it is allowing is when a municipal employee is injured, they get disability payments. Those disability payments, if they're permanent, their pensions are offset by their payments. So they're made whole, but they don't get a windfall. What the legislation essentially does is allow them to recover their full pension and full disability payments. So the municipalities are paying sort of twice.
Why would they pass that?
That he's talking about.
Why would that even be included?
Because there's been a battle. I believe it's been in Stratford, and there's a state rep that is pushing this. And so they're going to pass it for the unions. And that's one that gets frustrating is, you know, the unions in Connecticut have a collective bargaining process. Democrats have come in to circumvent that process and give them more statutorily. At the same time, for instance, we at the state level want a cap on pensions. So our employees aren't working hundreds of hours of overtime to bump their pension up. We think it should be capped at $150,000. Democrats say, no, you can't do that. It has to be collectively bargained. Well, why does that have to be collectively bargained? But we're statutorily going to give them more benefits without requiring that to be collectively bargained. Again, it's a hypocrisy. So they're willing to take the side of the unions, but they're not taking the side of the taxpayers. And the taxpayers are going to be paying more for this without any input from the municipalities.
I'm going to reach out. I don't know who you're referring to, Representative Candelora in Stratford, but I want to find out more about that, because if this is stemming from...
You could talk to... I know Representative Shake has championed this bill, so you could certainly call her and ask her why this is being done outside of the legislative process.
Okay, so the one representative I've not spoken to before, because I've talked to Gresko and I've talked to McGordy before, but I've not talked to Representative Shake. So I will be glad to reach out to her and find out a little bit more. I want to thank you, Representative Candelora. I know you're on your way up to Hartford. I know it's a busy day ahead. Thank you, though, for chatting with us about this, and we'll certainly continue to track it here on WICC and let you know at home what happens up in Hartford in the day ahead.